Good morning, 6:38 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone, we have Wes Moreno. He is the, I guess he's been voted in, but I guess I don't think the contract has been signed yet unless I'm mistaken. So I'm just going to call him the administrator. He was the interim for a long time, and now he's the administrator. Wes, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. As always, it is great to be here.
Hey, good to have you. Okay, so let's settle that right away. Did you sign a contract? Are we done yet or not done yet?
It has been signed, sealed, and delivered.
Oh.
It's official.
Executed. Fantastic. Okay, so Administrator Wes Moreno joins us now on the Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you, sir. Hey, something I was talking about a half hour or so ago is the resignation letter that Bart Sider submitted to you on Friday following what I connect, the very critical comments made by Stephen Barry and Lumen May about all kinds of things IT-related, even though that wasn't the subject of the discussion. They were actually talking about ECAT Wi-Fi service. They talked very bad about the ID department. The next day, he submits his letter of resignation. Have you talked to Bart about why he's quitting?
We had a brief conversation on Friday. We were actually talking about a couple of other projects and issues. One is our animal licensing software, DocuPet. That we're talking about that. We were talking about the SEC and some of the needs that they need out at Brosnahan, and some contracts that we're putting in place to accomplish that work. And then, you know, we talked briefly. He submitted his letter, and we talked briefly there. And, you know, we're going to miss Bart. And I told him, I said, man, you're one heck of an IT guy, Bart. There's no doubt about that. He is one heck of an IT guy. And he's done a lot for Escambia County. He saved us a lot of money during his tenure, and some of his process improvements and ideas that he's brought to the table. And we are definitely in a much better place financially because of some of the process improvements that he's brought forward. So, you know, when folks make a decision, they make a decision. And I hated seeing them. But it is what it is, and we'll move forward.
Well, the frustrating thing as I watch this is, and look, I know you work for the board, right? Okay, so, and you don't get to make the decision when somebody decides to quit. That's their decision. But when I look at this as an outsider, and I think about things like the refusal to unmask the person who was making the anonymous request about the 401A plan back in the day, and then the request from a person to Bart to reveal all of that, and that was a big scandal, about a year ago. And I think about, you know, the treatment that he got from Stephen Barry, who was very connected in all that. It's frustrating to see somebody who, as you say, and as everybody else has said, was a fantastic employee. My perception gets run out of their job, basically, because they're not willing to put up with the harassment from the commissioner. I just don't know what you as an administrator can do to protect employees, especially when they're the high quality ones like that. But that seems to be the challenge.
Well, you know, you always try to stand in the gap, and I will continue to try to do that. And sometimes there are other things that come into play, and like I said, he was a heck of an IT guy, still is. I didn't want to lose him, but, you know, I think that had been something he'd been considering, you know, for a bit, and I think he's in a very good place retirement wise, and so, you know, sometimes you just make that decision today is the day, and I think that's what he did.
You and I talked last week when the Baker Act facility story was just kind of developing, or at least from our perspective, kind of developing, and we've had a lot of conversations about that here on the air. Do we have any update from the county's side in terms of what the county might be looking at to solve this problem, if anything, at this point?
Well, I think there's, I know we have a 90-day extension, and I know there's a lot of discussion. I have had conversations with Dr. Josephs there at Lakeview because I was a bit concerned even before the announcement of the Baker Act.
Yeah.
We kind of heard some rumbles, so I made some phone calls and had some conversations. I know Sheriff Simmons has had some conversations. He's extremely concerned. And, you know, he's concerned with what are we going to do with these folks that truly need, you know, that sort of help. And then, of course, my concern is they're going to bring them to the jail.
Right.
That is my concern. I mean, where else do you take them, you know? And, yeah, it's kind of a big blow. It kind of came at us quickly, I think. The sheriff, I can't speak for him, but I think maybe, you know, it came at him quickly. It's coming at us quickly. So we are having discussions, and as we move forward, to try to figure out, you know, a better alternative, I guess you would say, to what's been being done, and hopefully we can figure that out.
Yeah, and as you point out, you know, the county is going to be the responsible party of last resort at the jail, and you know, it would be a whole lot better if we could find a less expensive and more appropriate way to handle these things earlier on in the process. Because if you can't take them to a facility, where else are you going to take them if you have to take them anywhere? You know, Michelle Salzman has been talking about it being feasible to stand up a central intake facility within 90 days. She was talking yesterday to Channel 3 about having a available brick and mortar for that. Is that something, I mean, from the county's side, is that something that you've seen, or is she working on a deal with other parties? Do you know anything about that?
I heard her make that presentation, but I have not had a conversation
okay.
with her, or maybe what she might be looking at.
Okay.
But we are happy to have that conversation, because again, you know, it's not just, you know, the things in the jail. That's really not what some of these folks need.
Yeah.
You know, they need real treatment, real care. And, you know, sometimes you just don't get real treatment, real care of that nature, especially, you know, in a jail. So.
Well, that's just, I mean, that's not, so that's not what the jail is built for. You know, it's not, that's not what its goal in right. mind is, unfortunately. Sunday, your team rebuilt the traffic signals at Olive and Davis, and we have had nothing but nonstop rain for the last 4 days now. So far, so good. Are you satisfied? You think you got this fixed finally?
Absolutely. I think we have it resolved, and crews did a great job in an expedited amount of time. And I think we'll be good to go there at that location.
Outstanding. I don't know if it's your project or not, but the purple, like bright purple lights that are at the Devil's Triangle, at Creighton and Lanier, I've gotten reports from other people that they are elsewhere as well. Now, the county's not like doing a Prince tribute or something. Like, you're not installing bright purple, almost black lights at these intersections, right?
We are not. Some of that is FDOT and FPNL actually is putting those lights in. It's a defect in the LED is what it is. It's causing that purple hue. I'm not sure what their plans are to correct it, but that's what it is.
Okay, so it is a defect in manufacturing, and I guess they're going to be replacing them over time. And until then, we just have, you know, Rave Central at the at the intersections. It's kind of funny to me. Hey, last thing that I wanted to ask you about, and only because I don't know what happened behind the scenes, but apparently there was some uncertainty with regard to the SAFER grant. And I know, you know, Commissioners Barry and Bender had talked mm-hmm. briefly about this in the county commission meeting. But this was meant to be a grant to get us some funding for emergency response personnel. And it seemed like we were going to be applying for it. And then all of a sudden we weren't, that decision was made not to. Can you give us maybe a brief explanation of why we're not, and maybe how that decision was made?
Well, we actually have applied.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
So what the decision is going to be is if we get awarded,
okay.
it's how do we move forward. And so, you know, we have applied. So we're having talks. I'm having talks with Eric and Chief Catherine Bone to, you know, discuss some strategies, funding strategies, and Stephan, of course, to discuss funding strategies if indeed we are awarded. Because, you know, eventually it will add quite a bit of payroll to the fire services, which, as you know, we're still working our strategy moving forward to maybe transition to sales tax to fund fire.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that is being talked about, and I'm not sure of the timeline when we will hear back if we're going to be awarded. But that's a decision as we move forward. You know, if we're awarded, how do we fund it? down the road, because it's not going to, you know, I think we get 3 years of some assistance, and then that goes away, and then it's on us.
So the I thought I remembered Commissioner Barry making the comment that this wasn't going to happen or something, and that kind of surprised Commissioner Bender. Maybe it was Bergosh, I forget now. So you're saying, no, this is in process, and we are trying for it. The question will be, if we get it, whether we accept it, to what degree. Is that accurate?
That is absolutely accurate. Yes.
All right.
It is.
Very good. Thank you for clearing that up, because I know I was confused by it. So, outstanding. Wes Moreno, he is the now full county administrator, and we won't ever have to have that conversation again because he's lost the interim title. So, congratulations, we'll say.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Wes, thanks so much for the time, sir. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thank you, Andrew.